welcome everybody to the inaugural After the Series, talking about WandaVision here on the Master of One Network. Very excited to jump into this. The episode like just aired. The credits are rolling. We've watched all the post-credit, the mid-credit scene, the post-credit scene. We've made it through it. If you're tuning into this episode, this is full spoilers. There's no hand-holding. There's no anything. We're talking about it all. Nothing is sacred. Everything's up for grabs. If that scares you, run away, little girl, because that's what's about to happen. All right, so talking specifically about WandaVision, and again, series finale. It's the end of the, it's the name of the episode, so this is all we're going to get. Now, WandaVision largely is a story of grief, and it's a story of coming to a conclusion, finding resolution for the grief that you feel. Outside of that, we're just going to dive into all the themes next, but I want to talk about something first that happened in this episode. I know this is very brief because we're on a timeline. I should say that. This is a 30-minute episode. So we all are very excited. We've been spending,
That's a bold assertion.
It's a bold
at the very beginning.
3 hours later.
We spent 9 weeks talking theory. We've spent 9 weeks building this up, and now it's here, and we're going to blow through this in 30 minutes. And I should point out real quick before we get going, you heard Andrew's voice. You heard Lauren's voice. We have one other person joining us, and that is Mr. Steven Van Gorp. He just waved. It's an audio format. Nobody will see it. Say hi, Steven.
It's great to be here.
Perfect. And Steven is, this is the brains of the operation. Like if we are collectively like an Iron Man suit, Steven's the head.
No, he's Jarvis.
Jarvis. Yeah, come on.
Patrick is clearly the ass end of it.
I've never seen that movie.
It's not a movie. It is the entirety.
Clearly we need an expert for a reason.
He's not confined to one movie, Patrick. It is the entirety of his suit.
I would like to say
now it's Friday anyway.
I would like to say that I'm the like
Steven
crotch
and I are
protector.
On the Hermione page. Yeah.
But the crotch protector is more useful than I am. So
absolutely.
I don't know what I would be in the Iron Man. Who
you're
knows?
You're the briefcase. You're the briefcase that his like transported suit comes in. That's what
That's
you
perfect.
Are.
Perfect.
That's what this is. Okay.
You're who Happy carries around in his hand. That's who you are.
I gladly accept. You're saying I'm a cheeseburger is what you're saying. So
yeah.
On that note, I know it's so sad. So on that note, we're going to jump in. I want to say, so the reason I mentioned Iron Man's suit and the helmet specifically is because in Marvel, the iteration we're in now is like the mask that, you know, it's all like the little micro pieces that build itself. You know, it used to be like the mask stayed shut or like you had helmet on, helmet off. Well, then you had the flip action. Now we have the next iteration, which is
like
the
nanotech.
Little nanotech.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the nanotech, it builds around you. And that's what we see now. The iteration we're moving to now is now we got moving eyes. You know, that's like the next big thing. So what I noticed in WandaVision, soot on the hands. That's the next innovation
that's
in hand technology.
There it is.
Is soot on the hands. Because used to, we just waved our hands. And that's how you knew. Like, if I got in this stance with two hands near my chest, you knew I was doing magic. But now we have another indicator, and that's soot fingers. And that's the biggest detail that stood out to me in this episode.
Soot fingers.
Just the
and
black
you're specifically,
fingers.
You're specifically talking about Agatha.
Because, yeah, exactly.
Because
they both had black
Wanda
hands.
Well, no, she took the power from her hands and they turned gray, but I wouldn't say they turned black fingers.
I think both were happening, and I just think we're going to get more of it.
I wish this was a video format because of all the hand gestures you're doing right now, Patrick.
Very dexterous.
Yeah.
To go back to other Marvel things, like in Doctor Strange, like Mads Mikkelsen character has like the creepy stuff around his eyes. Like, I like to think maybe she like did a spell that went wrong and it turned her fingers black forever, like something like that.
Yeah, what's the bad guy's name from Guardians of the Galaxy from the first one who has
Ronan.
Ronan's got the black like soot looking deal down his eyes and around his
I'm just telling you, I think soot fingers are a good innovation because now you know a powerful form of energy has just launched from this area because otherwise
how do you know?
Yeah, that's
you know?
Fair. Yeah, how do
they
you?
They should adopt this
on a budget
Dragon Ball Z from now on.
But that's all that stood out to me. Nothing else. Everything else in this show was just.
You know what's funny to me is talking about things that stand out. I saw the whole series on release day every day of this or every week of the series, right? And it didn't occur to me until I was watching the watching the finale today, that in the final episode when she calls her the Scarlet Witch, in the episode prior she calls her the Scarlet Witch, right in the last couple minutes, I didn't realize that we hadn't heard that in the MCU up to this point. Like, mm-hmm. it didn't even dawn on me that was like so special, because I've always called her Scarlet Witch the whole time, and I guess it just never clicked with me. And so it was interesting to realize that, like, it's been 20 some odd years of this, and we are just now seeing it. I can see why it's such a big deal, but I totally missed the fact that we hadn't called her that yet.
Yeah, they haven't called her Scarlet Witch. They called her a witch.
Yeah,
but like it was one of those like Tony Stark kind of quips to like where a, it like just kind nod. Of like passes by. So if you're a fan, you like kind of I think presumed Scarlet Witch in it when it was actually never stated. Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
So the first time we heard Scarlet Witch would have been in episode 8 of this series.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they made like a small joke earlier in the series where like Jimmy Woo is talking to Hayward and he's like, doesn't she have some kind of colorful nickname? And that was when I was like, oh yeah, they have never said it, which may or may not have been like an interesting copyright issue before this. But
yeah,
like we also, I feel like, don't usually call any of the Marvel guys like their regular names because they don't really have secret identities. We call them all their like superhero names.
Yeah, like Dennis.
So what's
like
the
I literally did flip out when Wu called Cliff on the phone. I was like, well, we already know Cliff. Like,
but what's the differentiation? It doesn't. I mean, I assume that the same power is there, but by being Scarlet Witch versus some other reference, does that insinuate how that person is using their power? So to call her Scarlet Witch, is that to say that she's like pulling from the bad side of her?
Mm. So it's. It's actually really interesting that you even asked that, because obviously Scarlet Witch like has had a lot of different retcons basically, but like there's mutant Scarlet Witch, which is like Magneto's daughter, or there's a whole lot of other like parentage issues she's had, and they've revealed that over time. But I think it is interesting how this, the way they're presenting it, at least in WandaVision, is almost like Scarlet Witch could be a like Phoenix Force type of thing, if you're familiar with that. Where it's actually like this extra dimensional energy, because like a question, for instance, like when she has that vision, she goes to the Mind Stone and she sees that thing. Is that a vision of her, or is that actually a different version of her who is coming and giving her that, or is that the embodiment of this extra dimensional energy that is coming and giving that to her?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of different ways you could look at it. And it seems that there, because of her mentions of the Darkhold, it seems like there's actually maybe some type of larger moniker that can be passed on. And that's more recent in the comics, is actually something they've investigated there specifically, is that the Scarlet Witch has been more of a mantle that gets passed on, and she actually received it from her mother. So that's more recent in the comics, and I to be determined how they play that out in MCU.
I would say it does seem like the way that they presented it in this episode was that she was like the heir of this prophecy. Like that's what I would. That's right. How it was almost like professorial, right? Like this. When all of the agent of chaos or whatever they called her, when all of these powers combine, all these elements combine, instead of Captain Planet, you get Scarlet Witch. And it was like she was the culmination of all these different things, which would include the fact that it could have been anybody, but she was the one who was kind of harnessing all of these things, which does lend itself to the fact that not only could she be the heir to the prophecy, but also that prophecy could be handed off to somebody else.
But certainly whether or not she's good or bad is still to be determined. I mean, when we see her,
it's how you do it. It's how you use it.
Yeah. I think that it's also a thing where like she's messing with things that are really big power, and she might accidentally open some doors that she doesn't intend to, which I think is kind of definitely what they're setting up.
Yeah, they implied that, yeah.
Well, in the post-credit scene, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, throughout, but I would say the post-credit scene, yeah.
And we've always known, like, since this series aired, that she was going to connect into Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. And I now feel like she may or may not open the multiverse on purpose. Yeah.
So on that note, then, can we discuss the post-credit scene, the second stinger? You guys, correct me if I'm wrong, the voices that her, like, alternate I don't even know, like her second version of herself in the back room as she's going through the Book of the Damned, the voices that you could hear her conjuring were her children, right?
Okay, so I watched this twice, and I don't think she's, like, conjuring them. I think, like, as she's studying, it, like, echoes to her somehow. Like, like somewhere in her meditation, they're, like, bouncing their brainwaves to her.
The way that I read it was that she's reading this book that she has never read up to this point. She was just introduced to this book, and she's reading through. That book is a book of spells. That book is a book of incantations. That was the whole point, right?
Oh, I think
so
you're totally right.
She's, like, reading up on it.
You take it as a weak spot of her going, well, now that that's all done, but can I bring them back? Because that would harken to when Agatha made the comment that you can, you just don't have the knowledge. You have the power, not the knowledge. So, and that's how I read it. I read it the way you did, Andrew. But what Lauren just said is another way that I've seen it talked about.
I think it might be a bit of both. There might be something egging the kids on to call out to her that could be another force. Like, I think there may be even more to that. Like, I think especially something that WandaVision made me appreciate is how many, like, threads that Marvel will lay down to later be able to pull on, where it's like, this might not be exactly where you think it's being tied to, but it will come back.
Yeah, well, there's so much going on here, too, that, like, the setting, I don't know if you guys know, like, where she was.
Yeah, Montana.
I would love to know this, because I was wondering about this. And I also wonder if it's possible that there are actually two of her there from other dimensions, just not actually, like, her and her meditating self.
A lot of different thoughts there, because one is, right, we saw this in Doctor Strange, where as he's studying all these books, like, he's doing some in astral projection while he's sleeping. He's doing some where he's doing all this other stuff. But and so the way I took it was, A, she's not actually physically having to rest while she's doing astral projection, which is interesting, right? And so, like, we hear it referenced in the episode that she's actually stronger than the Sorcerer Supreme, or she's supposed to be. And so something that we haven't seen Doctor Strange do, she's doing within, you know, arguably days after the end of kind of like her leaving Westview. But what's really fascinating is where she is, and this is, it doesn't say this, but this is what I'm taking, just given what they're hinting at as far as the villain. That's what's so fascinating to me, is it seems that they're completely departing from who I thought they were going to set up as the villain, to where I believe she's probably at, like, Wendigo Mountain is what it's called, basically, where there's this elder god, basically, called C'thon and all this stuff, and he is the one who created the Darkhold. So, like, they tied all these little things together, where chaos magic is his thing, C'thon is obviously the god of chaos, or the elder god of chaos, and then he's effectively trapped in this other dimension, or he's been banished. Okay. And so a question is, like, the way I heard it was her children are in distress, and actually she was interrupted in the midst of while she was learning. And so all of a sudden she's, like, hearing this and acting. And I think what y'all were saying is, like, this larger theme of, I have ignorance about how powerful I am, and I'm learning very quickly. And I think what we'll probably find is she's going to screw a lot of things up early on with good intentions, just like she did in Westview, just at a much larger multidimensional scale in this next one, as she's trying to handle grief, trying to figure out what that looks like.
Hmm. So you're seeing this as a Larry, Curly, and Moe situation, but involving, like, worlds.
All I need to know is the Sorcerer Supreme. Is that, like, a normal sorcerer, but just with sour cream? I'm trying to
figure
out what
with
the difference.
Olives and onions.
What the difference is here.
It has all the meats.
Peppers, the whole...
I have a question for you, Steven. Who did you think the bad guy was that they were setting up, like you just mentioned?
Mephisto.
See, I thought they were doing a misdirect with Mephisto, and that they were really going to pull us out to Nightmare.
Okay, yeah, those were... By episode 9, I was like, I don't think they're doing this anymore, because it was like, you have one episode left, and you have so much stuff you've set up. You don't need this. You don't need to add another layer, even though I really liked all those theories going along. And I was like, there's evidence! Like, by episode 4, I was like, I have proof! And now it's like, no, there's nothing.
So, for other threads that were set up, I'm very excited that we will get more Catherine Hahn. I mean, I think that's very clear from the last line that we get of, you know where to find me, that she's going to play a role.
Like, I want her back.
Oh, I mean, she was fantastic. You know, I've read a couple of the reviews from some of the larger critics, and I know there was one complaint I read about her feeling too one-dimensional in this final episode, because you could have gone a very empathetic route, but instead it was just a very, I want power, I'm power hungry, like, that's what it felt like. I don't know that I fully feel that way, but I am excited to see more of her, and I did enjoy her as a antagonist, even though maybe I didn't get to fully enjoy her because I was feeling like she was a red herring for something else.
She had this line in the finale I loved where she said, like, I take power from the undeserving. And I wish they had used that more, where she really believed like Wanda was bad and that's why she wanted to take her power. I think that could have been interesting, even if she does do bad things like kill the dog, which she knew was fake. So they could argue about the morality of that. But like, you know, like the whole thing is kind of a weird morality gray zone anyway. So like, I just think it would have been a little more interesting to push that. Like there's certain little edges I wish they would have pushed harder on, but it's also like, this is way deeper, I think, than most Marvel stuff has ever attempted to go. So this is already like 10 steps in the right direction already.
Yeah. And I think they really could have leaned into that so much more, because like so much of when we first meet her, right? Like she's at least putting on airs that she's trying to be good, or she thinks that she can achieve goodness. And I think they kind of like alluded to that. And I think what you just called out, Lauren, is really good in terms of like, you know, you're undeserving of it. Like I actually need to protect the world from mm-hmm. you because you're not like almost trying to see it as a selfish self-sacrifice, when in reality, we know that she's just kind of power. You know,
yeah. She's right. Definitely getting the bigger slice of cake at the end.
We had a conversation about that last week, I believe, in that I felt like Wanda and Agatha were set up as parallels, and maybe even it's hinted by Agatha that she saw herself as being a parallel until she learned more about Wanda and she was disappointed. But they kind of set this up that both of them had good intentions, but because other people didn't trust them, it forced them to be bad. That's kind of that's at least how Agatha portrayed her history. Now, you don't know what is her projection versus what's reality. And again, with Wanda, you have all these external forces that are just, you know, she's a criminal and she's dangerous and she's this and she's that. How does she respond to it?
I have can we shift gears for a second? Because I know sure. We want to stay on time. We haven't talked about Vision at all. And I have a serious question about what the heck happened to Vision at the end of that episode.
I loved it.
He shoots up through the ceiling. He goes Wonka Vader and goes out the ceiling, and we never see him again. At what point will we see him again? Or did original Vision, or other Vision, or whatever you want to call him, the other half of Vision, did he
WandaVision?
Did WandaVision? Yes. Did he kind of manipulate him or cause him to see the fact that the one he needed to be destroying was really himself, and did he go and destroy himself? Like I'm going back and forth between like, does he just leave or does he destroy himself? Because I could see it go either way.
So I had this moment in the episode where I thought like, did Vision despawn and like it's gonna be a fake out and this is actually White Vision, and like when the reality collapses, she's gonna be standing there with Vision and just be like, oh my word. I mean, I have to imagine that whatever, I don't want to call him White Vision. I don't know what his name is.
Is I like what's Vision his name? Best. Yeah.
Vision.
That sounds worse. Yeah. I have to feel like
he's coming. Vision. That's good.
There's going to be a hello again, right? He's going to come back. The question is just when he comes back. Maybe he's just out processing all of his newfound memories.
He says, it stands to reason. There will be.
Don't say it again, because I will start tearing up. Literally,
it was insane.
I'm gonna blame this on like my dad passing away, but the last two episodes, I've cried like five different times, and this is a tough show.
I've cried.
If you have someone close to you that's passed away, it's a very tough show. Yeah. Anyway, Steven, where's Vision?
That's a great question. I'm not convinced that he's like the good Vision at this moment in time, because the protocols are written so that. He has a little bit of Tony, a little bit of Bruce Banner, a little bit of Jarvis, and a lot of Ultron still there. And so I think there is this idea that what he gave him, was it the Mind Stone like Vision essence, or was it memories? Because if you look at the memories in the montage, there was a lot of Ultron in there, a lot of Sokovia going on.
Probably a third of them were Sokovia.
And so I'm not convinced that this isn't potentially a pathway for Ultron to reemerge, and that like his actual like Vision capability, right? What he was building was like, he was going to call Vision his Vision, but instead it turned into this alternative thing he never wanted him to be. And so what if this could actually turn into that version? We could see a new resurgence of Ultron, because that's Ultron's motif, is that like you really never get rid of him. He's always somewhere.
He's like herpes. Oh, did you
I'm actually so excited by that theory. I'm not kidding. Like, that is really awesome. And like, I just wanted Paul Bettany to come back because I love him. Like, I love him. So I just wanted any excuse for him to not be dead. And I was like, okay, White Vision flew off. He's here somewhere.
You got double the Bettany this episode. They're freaking, yeah. I want Paul to talk to me about shipbuilding. I just want to sit there.
I would also love to learn about ships. So I read this, you know, there was this big theory that there was going to be this massive cameo in the end of
episode
8. And Paul Bettany talked at length about how he was documented as saying that he has been looking forward to working with this actor. He has, you know, he's respected and loved his work for so long, and it was just such an honor to be able to work with him. And it became this thing, right? Like everybody,
oh my guessing, gosh,
everybody knew who it was going to be because of X, Y, and Z. And then I read his response this past week, where he was just like, "I feel terrible. I thought it was a great joke because I was talking about myself, and it ended up becoming this thing." Like,
I think.
How did you guys feel about that? Did you? Because I kept expecting to see like Benedict Cumberbatch. Like that was in my mind. I kept waiting to see Benedict Cumberbatch.
I did not think it would be him because they're relatively close to the same age. So some of the people that I really liked were like Al Pacino and stuff. But I think it's amazing genius level trolling that he did this. Not even 100% on purpose.
I don't think he was intending to do it. I thought he was just trying to be funny.
Yeah, but it's really funny. And I feel like it's a perfect segue to talk about Quicksilver as well, which we have to get in before the end, which I feel like was a very unsatisfying and almost a little bit mean troll to fans.
I did too.
You're saying completely. Just referring to him as Mr. Boner and then throwing him away was mean and unsatisfying?
Yeah, all of the above. I mean, I'm currently liking the theory that I've heard that like maybe Ralph was the witness protection person, so it's not really his real name and he could still be Quicksilver maybe. But I just like thought it was very boring when they've already announced that there's going to be mutants and all this other stuff to like pull in somebody that is from the Fox universe and tease us like that. Like, I know that like clearly there's an issue with people getting carried away with like predictions in this show, and maybe I don't think we have enough time to like talk about that anymore, but like I think this maybe was like too much. Like, this joke didn't come off the way that they intended, in my opinion.
I felt personally disrespected. But I, like, the thing is, at the same time, I love him as Quicksilver.
Me too.
I can't remember his name right now as an actor, but
Evan Peters.
Yeah, I love him so much as Quicksilver that I forgot that he existed, and then to suddenly get him in this series was such an energizing thing. So I'm glad for the time we spent together. You know, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. things that are good don't have to last. I don't know the quote's in the episode. It's similar to that.
It's not beautiful because it lasts. I literally
there we go.
Age
and
of
Evan
today.
Peters, Evan Peters might be the example of that. It's not beautiful because it lasts. I loved it, but I hated it that he's allegedly gone now. But I love that we had the.
I definitely got really deep into the theory hole, and I liked some of the theories where like this would be how we get mutants and stuff, and
Boner.
It still could be. I'm not like I think Monica Rambeau is kind of a mutant at this point because she was like rewritten
on
DNA level.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what if other people were passed through the hex accidentally, like that live on the edge of town or something, and like what happens to them? I'm wondering if that's maybe how we get new people like Miss Marvel and stuff in the near future.
So we're getting a Monica Rambeau movie. It'll be like Rambo 7 or something. Well,
I would watch that. Nice. Captain Marvel 2, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think she'll probably show up as Photon, is my guess. Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed we didn't see more with her, frankly.
Yes.
But at the same
time,
maybe it's, you
Evan
save
Peters
it for the film, maybe.
Troll.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
I wanted
save
more
it for
her.
The film, but I wanted more with her.
So speaking of the saving things for film, I thought the last two episodes were incredibly cinematic, and I loved it. It felt like we got a return to a Marvel movie after not having had one since Endgame. You know what I mean? I know we technically had Ant-Man 2 that happened after Endgame, right?
It's Spider-Man Far From Home.
That was what it was. Spider-Man Far From Home.
The other bug guy.
The other one. and which I have... Have you been seeing all the set photos with like reveals of like shadows and who be in that and all, whatever. That's fine. We don't have time for that.
I'm not watching it. I'm not watching it.
We don't have time for that. But
I can talk for that for 30 minutes alone.
It was really nice to get a return to the Marvel Cinematic Universe in a way that I actually cared about, because at the beginning of this, I was like, oh, I'm so glad to have something different. Like, I was so happy for the different genre, the different way they were approaching it, and not really having any idea what to expect going into it. And as it kind of slowly transitioned into what we knew, I thought that was good. I'm glad that not all 9 episodes were like mini Marvel movies, but I am glad that the last one really leaned into it hard, because it felt like a return to something that was exciting.
I did have that moment when Agatha and Scarlet Witch were having their fight in the air.
Yeah.
It 100% brought me back to that point. And that would have been a bad thing 9 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But but doing it after we got the WandaVision series, it worked out very well. I so appreciate the direction they took with this, because to me, this was a re-energization. That's probably not a word. Of the franchise as a whole. And I think without this, the interest would have just continued to wane. It would have become what Star Wars is right now. This is what was needed to bring people back in. They did an incredible job. And not only that, but it was done in such a way that it did amazing, like, deep fan service, because you have Steven down here geeking out about it and just keeps pushing his glasses up on the bridge of his nose every 5 minutes. And then you also have people that, because of the approach they took with like the old TV shows and that style of narrative and script and whatever, you have other people that maybe wouldn't care to watch a Marvel film, but this series may have been an inroad for them. They got hooked on it because they took the approach they did. So I really appreciated that. Where do we go from here? I mean, do we have, idea?
We have 2 weeks until we see where we go from here.
So what's like the, I mean, are there any known, is there anything known about the next, because the next series is
Falcon and Winter
Falcon.
Soldier.
Yeah, exactly. So is there anything known about Falcon? Is there anything known, or is it completely in the dark right now?
It's going to be a buddy cop genre show, though. You know that, right?
Zemo is the bad guy again. So like Hydra, I think it's going to be a lot more punchy, fighty, less feelings.
Yeah. They're going to be teasing out. I know that they're teasing out a few X-Men like hotspots, like the island of Genosha. So like that's actually like a place where they're going to be spending some time. Cool. So I think they're dropping a lot of like X-Men level hints. And yeah. I will be very surprised if they don't pay those off in the Doctor Strange 2 film, because they're going to have to unveil the origin of X mutants very soon.
Do you think we'll get X-Men or Fantastic Four first? Like, which will be revealed first? Because I feel like they wanted to tease it. Like, I don't know. I felt like they poked at it in this.
I hope Fantastic Four. I hope Fantastic Four personally, because I like the Fantastic Four a little bit more than I do the X-Men. I feel X-Men'd out because I have so much X-Men, and I know it's not canon because it's not MCU.
We've had just as many Fantastic Fours.
But they've had just as many Fantastic Fours? What are you talking about?
Yeah, we've had 3 Fantastic Four movies. Like there's a lot of them. Okay,
but there's X-Men Origins, which have 14 movies.
I stopped watching after Apocalypse because they were so bad.
So exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I'm a little X-Men'd out. I'm happy, and I would be immensely happy if John Krasinski came in as Mr. Fantastic.
It would be amazing.
I would sell everything I owned and go hand it to the people at Marvel and say, just take it, because you'd made the absolute best decision any company could make ever.
Well, they're doing such a good job of building out like multi-universal like anomalies, right? Where I feel like every other Fantastic Four film, it's always had to be like, that's like the crazy thing that happens. Right. But I think like, because they've had Guardians, right? And at that point, they'll have Guardians all the way 1 through 3, right?
Yeah.
And so like, we're kind of over like the suspension of disbelief that has to happen. Like, oh, this crazy extra dimensional event has to happen. And then like everything surrounds that. I think that they can actually make that like a blip on the radar and actually, you know, the radiar.
It's a Marvel term, Patrick.
Yeah, I was like, that's actually an anagram for something.
That's a deep cut Marvel term, Patrick. Yeah,
it's funny because I thought before that you said extra menstrual as though there was like multiple,
you know, the extra menstrual radiar.
Yeah.
But I think that they'll be able to do more world building around Fantastic Fantastic Four and actually integrate so many more villains into mm-hmm. that. Because a lot of their villains are these extra dimensional or like multi-universal threats, even though they're like effectively just human beings. And I think it's going to be really cool to see like that kind of mixing in with a lot of these other like Celestials and, you know, all this.
Oh, Eternals. You just reminded me of another thing. Yeah, I was like, but we can't talk about it because we've hit 30 minutes. This sucks.
Here's the thing. No, in any case, I'm ready to get weird. So I'm going
to
let
I would love to talk longer. Can we?
Each person here gets to say one thing that's gone unsaid. I don't care what it's about, but each person here gets a chance. One thing that's gone unsaid. Lauren, you're itching, so go ahead.
Okay. So I think like my maybe like overall like wrap up of this series that I think like worked out really well, like accidentally on purpose, is that this was given to us like totally out of order for what was intended to be released. Like, I think we were supposed to have Black Widow, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and Eternals before this, which really, Eternals especially is one, which you just brought up, which I was like, if we'd had that before this, it definitely, I think, would have changed a lot of trajectory and opinions about different things. But now we have to wait to that. And I do think it's kind of insanely beautiful and perfect that, like, our first Marvel experience in the pandemic, like, kind of after our little break, was this show, because it's about, like, grief and pain and living in a bubble and binging TV and looking for easy answers to our problems, but ultimately having to like face them down in real life, which I really feel now after like a year of pandemic life. So I feel like this was like perfect timing and a great show.
Steven, one thing that's gone unsaid.
We never talked about the kids.
I know, we never talked about the kids. I think, yeah, I feel like this is going to be picking up what you just kind of said a little bit too, but I think like it's really cool. Like every Marvel character has some element of grief in their life, or some type of like they had something set them back and then they rose to the challenge, right? We saw that kind of thing. I think what's really great, and one of the reasons I'm glad, initially I was bummed that Doctor Strange didn't show up, but I'm really glad because I think that shows that Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch, can stand on her own. And that like the grief part of her, I don't think that's going to go anywhere. And I'm excited that they're going to be able to like make that part of the ongoing journey of a character rather than like, I've just overcome this. It's actually going to be a continuing thread that's teased out in future films. And she's going to have to keep dealing with that. And that will literally happen in the form of the kids showing up in the later films. But I think also like the earnest desire to like do good and fail forward. And so I'm very excited about that. But it's really, the thing I'll add to that too, is it is kind of scary that the Darkhold is effectively like the One Ring in Lord of the Rings. And we have a very, novice level superhero who's walking with it with some of the largest power set in the entire, MCU as we know it. So that's kind of scary.
Dun, 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 Andrew.
Yeah.
So this has gone unsaid. I think a lot of people have really resonated with Wanda throughout this process, like the whole idea of dealing with grief and whatever. I actually didn't really connect with her a ton. I connected more with Vision. If you know anything about, if you're close enough to me to know anything about what's happened over this last year, the idea that you learn that you, like, your origins and where you come from aren't necessarily what you thought they were this whole time, I can relate to that. I can resonate with that. And so I was following his character very, very closely from about episode 3 or 4, where he starts to like pick up on I think it's episode 3 where he starts to pick up on like heavy, something's not right here. And as that story unfolds and he starts to learn more about what's going on, I connected most with him. And so I was sad at the end for Wanda, for sure, but I was sad more for Vision, because he had finally just discovered what he was there for and where he even came from, and it was already time for him to, his time had already passed. And so for me, it tells a totally different narrative if you view it from Vision's perspective as opposed to Wanda's. Most people are talking about Wanda. So that's kind of where my last word
lies. You know, I'm going to actually piggyback on that. And by the way, we're not going to talk about Darcy. We're not going to talk about Hayward, who was going to kill children. We're going to skip over Mr. Jimmy Woo. But I'm sure he'll get his own show.
Little like
but
MVP there.
On that note,
Ant-Man is never getting away ever again. He got good.
But on that note, Andrew, I thought if you see it that way, Vision is an incredible victim in the whole thing. And it's like very in a very like emotionally powerful way. And to go a step further, when Agatha cut people's strings and they could suddenly recognize Wanda for who she was, that was probably the most awful, terrifying, gut-wrenching part of the whole series for me, because you really did see what a monster that she was. I mean, and I thought that was the most effective bit of conflict for the series as a whole, especially in terms of, can you call yourself good? Like, are you really trying to be good? In bringing into question any level of morality that existed within inside of her. So now, certainly that only lasted a really short amount of time, and then we just jumped into the Agatha Wants Power. But I was very impressed by that, but I was also, like, devastated by that as well.
Yeah.
That is a great scene. I wish that we actually got 10 episodes, not 9.
It's never enough for you, Lauren. It's never enough. That had to not go unsaid.
They do have a behind the scenes episode.
Oh, it comes out next week.
Well, so I do think that there was just so much stuff in this last episode that they could have done with two, but I'm gonna shut up because Patrick's giving me the look.
That's it. Yeah, that's actually just my lazy eye, but that's it. is that offensive towards people with lazy eyes?
Probably.
Okay. We'll cut that bit. All right, that's it for this episode. That's our series recap for the end of WandaVision. We're not going to get any more, and I'm glad we're not going to get any more. We don't need to milk every cash cow, as it were. And I don't know.
No one can see this, but Patrick did little milking gestures.
Tiny milking gestures with like the tiniest little nipples. Just the tiniest.
So things don't meet the parents. What, you're milking a cat?
You can milk anything with nipples, Fokker.
Do you remember, can you milk me? Do you remember the DirecTV or whatever commercial, the tiny giraffe? I just imagine a cow of the same. Y'all don't. Okay,
nope. Whatever. It doesn't. No, we weren't smoking pot the same time you were. Did a tiny giraffe sell you DirecTV? Wow.
There's a commercial. Just Google it.
A giant koala sold me AT&T. So I get it.
It makes sense. But great series. Honestly, one of my favorite pieces of content in recent memory, and certainly as it pertains to the content that Marvel's produced, I just think it's incredible. If you haven't seen it, you wouldn't be listening right now, because that wouldn't make any sense. So if you have seen it, I presume that you probably enjoyed it. But if you have thoughts about this, things we didn't cover, things that opinions you want to share, or if you didn't like it, or whatever it is, then talk to us in Slack, mof1.network/Slack. Andrew, you had one more thing?
I just wanted to say that the success of this show has got me re-fired up. I'm very excited for No Way Home. I'm very excited for Multiverse of Madness. I'm very excited for, I know it's
Black
different,
Widow,
but the same. No, I'm not excited for Black Widow. I am
because I'm curious, but like Eternals is honestly one I'm super excited about, and like...
It just reignited my interest and my love for Marvel, which waned a little bit, but is there again. So,
but if you want to continue the conversation, go to mof1.network. Join us in. You can click on the Slack, or you can go to our other socials at mof1 podcast. Talk to us on Instagram, Twitter, whatever. But let's have the conversation. We have the dialogue and TV discussion, or you know, wherever you want to just thread the conversation, because some of us haven't seen it yet. Other than that, you can support us on patreon.com/mof1podcast. You can jump in there and throw us a couple dollars and help us continue to produce amazing content and snag awesome guests like Steven Van Gorp down there, the old head of Iron Man, as I like to call him.
Yeah.
The head of
Iron Man. The old Iron Man's head. And I think that's it. We have socials. You can follow them. We also have other cool shows. I mean, I'm not telling you what they are. We also have other cool shows on the network.
It's good to acknowledge that they exist, but not actually.
They exist. You can find them and you can talk to us, but figure it out. And of course, you can listen to the M of One podcast, which comes out every Wednesday. I almost called it the @M of One podcast, which is dumb. And then we have other shows coming out, new ones coming out soon, whatever. But let's just stop this madness. We're going to get out of here. I'm Patrick.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Steven.
Peace out.
Adios.
Jarvis.
Guten night.
Who do you think is going to be the next big bad like Thanos was at, like, coming up?
Who's your big bad, Steven?
Oh, man.
And it can be, like, groups of aliens, because I know Secret Invasion is coming, all that kind of stuff. So, like, Skrulls is a fair answer.
I think it's going to be difficult because they're really, they're merging into such new territory where I could see each little team up having different types of big bads, right? Because, like, if they do C'Thon or Mephisto or any of those Jokers, like, those are big enough for, like, a interstellar
or Adam?
And what'd you say?
Or Adam?
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, those are these larger level threats that can become, like, significant, especially if they did Adam, like, with the Magus and all that, or the Magus and all that stuff. Like, that can become, like, a whole deal. If they do Fantastic Four, I could see them eventually pulling back in Galactus and actually doing it right, because they do it so much better than all these other things. So that would be really great. But I really think that they could be teasing out Mephisto as kind of this, like, underlaying thing, because it seems like they're pulling some of that in. Loki seems to be where they're really trying to pull that in, where, and I talked with Patrick about this, I don't know if y'all know this, but, like, in the very first cutscene with Nick Fury and Tony Stark, where he talks about the Avengers Initiative, he shows them a manila pamphlet. And if you go back, and if you actually own the DVD, if you try to go watch it digitally, you won't see this. They've redacted it. But it on the piece of paper, it says the Mephisto Project, way back then.
Oh, wow.
So 25 years ago.
Holy crap. Yeah, like forever ago. And the whole thought there is that S.H.I.E.L.D. might have been making literal deals with the devil to get more information about Infinity Stones even then. And so they took that away. And I don't know if that was just because they didn't want people, they didn't want to raise suspicion. But I could see him being like the guy who's kind of pulling a lot of the strings in the background.
Literally,
while, you know, he's sending things like C'Thon and the Chaos and Nightmare or whatever they do. I think, like, that's a way, but I think, like, Galactus is probably the next, like, multi-dimensional threat, and especially if they're already teasing out that a huge part of Wanda's future is destroying the world, I think that they could very well have, like, this, like, Galactus's entire focus, right, is he comes and destroys worlds and universes, and then they get reborn, and that could be, like, a big part of her role within all of that. Could she become herald? That kind of stuff.
If we get really Galactus, is it glove in hand that we also get Silver Surfer?
I sure hope so.
Because I would love to see Silver Surfer in the MCU.
Yeah, I think it's in the comics, it's really hard to separate those two in my mind, especially if you're going to pull in a Fantastic Four.
Right.
I think that they, like, if they really didn't want to do Silver Surfer, they could nix it. But I don't know why you wouldn't want to do it. It's a cool character. Like, it would look really awesome. Like, I don't know why they
That's the guy from the Capri Sun.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Yes.
Exactly.
He wraps his body in a Capri Sun.
Also known as Alex Mack. Yeah.
He was drinking a Capri Sun as he went through the hex. And that's what
that's what got him.
That's how he manifested.
Wait. Who's Adam with the mini goose?
The mini goose?
Is that what you said?
Yeah. So, like, in the comics, there's two versions of this character. He's like, right. So Adam is the one they tease at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
Two.
Right? One. Right?
Two.
Because it's after old lady.
The Sovereign, right? Is that what they're called?
Yes. She's the one who has it, yeah.
Right. And
cocoon.
Yeah. And so he's, like, the ultimate being, right? Like, that's his claim to fame. But then he has, like, this dark version of him who's, like, super, super evil. And so they have, like, these large wars. And actually, a lot of the Soul Stone typically revolves around that character. Obviously, we don't have that anymore, but...
Do we not really?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. So So we'll see what they do with that. But like, obviously he would be an antagonist to the Guardians at first. And then he eventually becomes a good character.
Yeah.
And so we'll
see.
Deadpool. I think that would be fun. I think because of like Eternals and Loki, I see something like more magic-y, like Mephisto being a stronger possibility, but who knows? And I also like clearly see them setting up the Young Avengers. So I think that's a thing like to consider. Like there's so many like pieces on the board right now.
Yeah, no, I think that, yeah, Wiccan and Speed, which are the kids, they'll definitely show back up.
Well, they've cast like so many of the kids, they just haven't like shown them to us yet. And I'm like, okay, I see. Like, I mean, I thought that was what was happening as soon as Spider-Man became a big deal.
Yep.
Yeah. I was like, I could go on.
And I'm super pumped, I think, for like Spider-Verse teases and all that kind of stuff, because like that's going to be a whole other, you know, depending on how crazy they want to get with that, there's obviously a million directions they can go there, which would be fantastic. Yeah. Like, I love the thought of like No Way Home being actually, it ends with him getting sucked into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Rather than like it buttons something up and then it actually finds a continuation point in Doctor Strange 2. I think that that would be a really fascinating, like tie-in across those.
That would be
I would love to see live action versions of Miles Morales and like all these other characters, right? Instead of just Peter Parker.
Yes.
Miles is the one we will get, I think, first, because they've set up a lot of the teenage girl superheroes already, and they may not have Tom Holland for long. So I think Miles is like a sure thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I'm just so excited for all this stuff. Right. I even hear theories that like maybe the new sword is building sentinels. I'm like, it's not crazy.
Nope.